I'm going to share this morning out of a vision that I received a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting in my seat back there and listening to the word and listening to the worship, and then all of a sudden this vision just caught my attention. And it was really only a 2 to 3 second vision, but I knew that it was something the Lord was trying to say, so I began to meditate on it. And so I really want to share with you this morning what I believe the Lord was saying based on that short little 2 to 3 second vision that He gave me a couple of weeks ago. So what I saw in the vision was I saw a small boat on the water and a person in the boat. And that person in the boat was tossing all kinds of things overboard. There was no land in sight in all directions. It was apparent that there was a sense of urgency and that those things were being tossed overboard in haste. It was clear that the boat was taking on water and it was sinking. And as I meditated on this vision and asked the Lord for more detail, I received three things that I want to share with you this morning. One is the boat could have been taking on water due to just a leak in the hull. Two, the boat could have been taking on water due to heavy winds and heavy waves. And three, there was an intense sense of mortality. That person who was tossing those things over the side of the boat, there was a sense of urgency about it. And so I've meditated on those things, and I want to share what I believe the Lord is saying from those things today. I want to start off by saying that when I look at the man in the boat, and I even look at the boat, the man represents the spirit and the soul part of the man. We are three parts, right? We are spirit, soul, and what? We are spirit, soul, and body. So the man that I saw represented spirit and soul, and the boat represented the body. I'll get into more detail. The boat represented our natural body, which has, as we all know, a finite number of days, doesn't it? So I'm going to title the message this morning, Teach Us to Number Our Days. I'll start with point number one. The boat could have been taking on water due to a leak. Now, I could tell that this was a very old boat, and the boats were made in the early days. They were not made very well like they are today, and they have an inherent leak. There's always a small bit of water that's leaking into the boat. And so if we look at our natural bodies, we say, how does that line up? And so just like that boat was slowly taking on water, which means that there was a finite amount of time that was going to pass before that boat was underwater. If we look at the natural body, every second, every minute, every day that passes by is 1 second, 1 minute, 1 day less that we have on this earth. Would you agree to that? So it was really that sense of urgency and what was happening in that really short vision that the Lord began to speak. He actually brought me to the scripture, and we'll get to it in a little bit, where Moses was praying, Lord, teach us to number our days. Because there's just something about human nature that we think we have more than enough time. Especially if we're a procrastinator. You know, we're going to get to it later. And what I believe the Lord is saying, and we actually heard it this morning when Pastor spoke after the worship, and even in some of the worship songs, it was in there if we were listening for it. That now is the time to start responding. And so, teaching us to number our days, and I did this. I actually went and said, okay, you know, there's a scripture that talks about the number of days. Could be 70, could be 80. We know that, you know, we're not locked into 70 or 80, but I did the calculation, and when I came up with the number for me, you know, the number could be 3,000. Or it could be 7,000 if I use those two numbers. Well, those did not seem like very big numbers to me. And immediately I started to think how important every single day is. And what should I be doing with the days that I have left? And it's going to force me to start to toss some things over the side, to abandon some things, to jettison the cargo, as the term goes. But if we forget that this vessel, this natural vessel of ours, it's leaking seconds, minutes, days. It's constantly leaking. It's normal. It's made to leak. But it is leaking. And there's a finite number of seconds and minutes and days. If we forget that this vessel is taking on water, if we forget that every second that goes by we cannot get it back, we are going to start to do some things differently. We're going to start thinking about standing before Jesus and having to give an account for the things that we've participated in. We're going to have to start thinking about walking out our salvation every single day and what that means. We're going to have to start thinking more about submitting to the process of sanctification. We're going to have to start thinking more about being transformed into the image of Christ. Philippians 2:12 says, "Though then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Part of working out our salvation is allowing the Holy Spirit to point out those things that need to be jettisoned out of our life, that need to be tossed overboard. How many know the Holy Spirit is always willing to answer that question, always pointing things out to us, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an activity, idols in our lives. You know, the Holy Spirit is always trying to point those things out to us, but we're not always listening. Well, when your days are numbered, you might start to listen a little bit better. And that's the point. I really want you to hear the heart of the point today. The message today really is that we should consider that we have a finite number of days. We can't even really be guaranteed of tomorrow. So we need to be more aware of the fact that, you know, time is short, no matter how many days you have left. Time is short. And the sooner that we start to jettison some of those things out of our lives that the Holy Spirit is pointing out to us, the more we can be living that abundant life. So it's not even about, you know, let's do what we need to do today for the end time. It's no, let's do what we need to do today so that we can live that overcoming life on this earth. All these things, the weight of the world, you put more weight in that boat that's got a small leak and the water starts rushing in much quicker. Even the worries and the anxieties, what does the Bible say? Cast your cares, cast your worries overboard, right? Cast those things. Why? Because they're not for us to carry. He paid the price for all of that stuff. We have no reason to be anxious or worried. Okay, so it comes for a season. It comes for a time. Who was it? Pastor Jim Kakusa said, "My problems get 30 seconds. Just enough time for me to recover and remember who I serve, who my Lord is, who my Savior is, who my God is." And then those problems, they don't seem so big anymore. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you feel the weight of the boat just being reduced? Can you see that the water is now trickling in a little bit slower? Do you know that he wants to add to the number of our days? But he wants to add to the number of our days that abundant living, not the anxious, worrying, striving kind of life. Do you believe that stress can cause sickness? Do you believe stress can shorten the number of your days? If you read the Bible, it's all over the Bible where the Lord is saying, hey, lighten your load. I'm carrying the load for you. Lighten the load. Stress can do these things, even just stress. Never mind all the other stuff that we're talking about. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Do you believe that he cares for you? He doesn't just care about you, he cares for you. Right? That's an intimate thing. That's an everyday thing. He's there when you wake up in the morning, and he's there until you go to bed at night, caring for you, carrying the load for you, even bailing the boat out for us when it's taken on too much water. Because he knows that carrying the weight shortens our number of days. It affects the quality of our life in the here and now. I remember when the Lord spoke to me, I was on vacation, and it was a beautiful day. I was sitting on the water. My feet were actually in the water. There were white, puffy clouds, blue sky, boats going by, and I'm thinking about work. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, be in the moment. We need to be in the moment. Because guess what? That's where he is. He's in the moment. It's where you're going to hear his voice, hear his direction, feel his presence. It's not in what you're thinking about tomorrow. It's not in what was in the past. It's in the here and now. It's hard to hear his voice when we're constantly thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. We have to be in the moment. And you know, trusting him is one of the ways that we can be in the moment. That's when you can release the worries about tomorrow, because you know tomorrow is taken care of. I can be in the moment. It's a safe place. I'm not going to be shirking my responsibility if I be in the moment. We've gotten ourselves to believe that if we're not 100 steps ahead, we're shirking our responsibility. So the vessel that we are in, this natural body, it's taken on water. Just by natural course. And if we go to point number two is, it could be sinking due to a storm. How many times has it been said by Pastor Ral, by Pastor Mac, even Pastor Ryan, that there is a storm coming? Does anybody even remember that it's been said multiple times that there is a storm coming? If we're not hearing these things, we're not going to prepare for the storm. Tossing those things in our lives that have no value in the Spirit, that are just weighing us down, almost like an anchor, those things have to be tossed overboard. We have to disconnect from those things. Because one of the reasons why you would toss something out of the boat is because it's so deep in the water that the waves are beginning to crash over the side of it. And as the waves crash over the side, it's taken on more water and more water. And the number of days then is a lot less. But there is a storm coming. You know, we have our borders are wide open. We have people coming into our borders, setting up shop. We have no idea. It's going to be quiet until it's not. But we know it's happening. We know that God will protect us. But that's why God is saying it's time to start tossing some things overboard. The more our lives represent this world, the heavier we are, the lower we sit in the water, and the faster the water is coming in. And he's constantly telling us, let go. Let go of this. Let go of that. In Acts 27:18, it says, the next day as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. It's what you do. It's what you do in the storm. In fact, if you get the heads up that a storm is coming, you start doing it before the winds and before the waves. And that's kind of where we're at right now. See, the winds and the waves are there, but they just haven't gotten to us yet. Can you thank God for giving us a heads up? Can you thank God for letting us know what is coming? Can you thank God for letting us know what we need to do in preparation? How about we start doing the things in preparation? You know, every word requires a response. So what is your response going to be today? A heavy boat is an unstable boat in heavy winds and waves. Even in the natural, the reaction is to make the boat lighter. In preparation in the spirit to be able to withstand the storm, we are going to need to toss those things overboard so that we can remain stable. Our stability is in Him. It's not in anything else. Luke 8:23 to 25 says, "But as they were sailing along, He fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And He got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And He said to them, 'Where is your faith?'" Faith in these days is responding to what God is saying. And if God is saying, and I believe He's saying it to me, if He's saying it's time to start purging some things out of your life, well, then the first thing I need to do is say, "Holy Spirit, point those things out to me that need to be purged from my life." We're really being blessed with a spiritual heads up in this season, and He's always good to do it. He's always giving us heads up. I heard someone preach one time that the enemy cannot grab a hold of you, but he can grab a hold of the things that you've grabbed a hold of. So the more that you're holding on to the things of the world, the more hold the enemy has over us. But if we begin to let go of those things of the world, the enemy has less hold on us. Let that sink in. The enemy can't grab a hold of us, but he can grab a hold of the things that we have hold over. Our faith needs to be exercised day by day so that when the storm reaches us, we will not be like the ones who felt they were perishing. If Jesus is in your boat, He's already telling you what to toss overboard. How many times have we heard things like, "Let that offense go"? An offense, is that weight in my boat that needs to be tossed overboard? Absolutely it is. Is it weighing you down to carry an offense? Of course it is. To forgive, to remove that toxic person from your life, to remove that sin from your life. Don't put all of your trust in your bank account. Don't put all of your trust in your abilities. Humble ourselves. In James 1:21, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." In humility. That's the only way we can receive the word implanted, is in humility. We can see the storm of ungodliness that's been unfolding before our eyes. Wickedness unfolding before our eyes in our own government. It's not even a foreign government. It's our own government. But we can be confident that God has a bigger plan. And so that's the boat sinking just from normal leakage. Then we have the storm where the waves and the wind can be coming over the side of the boat. And now there's the third point, which is we need to have that sense of urgency. We need it. And if we don't have it, we need to be praying for it. We need eyes and ears in the spirit. And this is where, so Israelites that were rescued out of Egypt, you know, we know they had a rough road, right? They took a 11-day journey, and they turned it into a 40-day journey, a 40-year journey, because of all of their grumbling and complaining and disobedience. And Moses, who was trying to lead these people, said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Moses was the leader praying for the people, "Lord, teach us to number our days. Why was he praying? With all the stuff going on, why would he pray, Lord, teach us to number our days? Well, put a number on your days and see what it does to you. It's human nature, I guess, that as soon as you get a number, like I said, when I saw 3,000, that's not a very big number. Puts a little more weight on every second, every minute, every day that passes. And if you're somebody that cares about living for Christ, then you're not going to take that time, that sense of urgency, and rush more into the world. You're going to take that time and that sense of urgency, and it's going to drive you deeper into your commitment and your relationship with the Lord. Doing the things that he's already been pointing out for years that we should be doing, that we haven't done yet. Moses knew that human nature is such that we always think we have plenty of time. I'll get to it tomorrow. We're not even assured of tomorrow. So, if you do the calculation, how many number of days do you think you have left? It's a simple one, right? Number of years you think you have times 365, that'll give you a number. Once you put a number to it, things change a little bit. Your perspective changes a little bit. You start to think about reprioritizing a little bit. And that's what needs to happen. We need to start reprioritizing. Paul, he was talking about, I said I was going to have the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's Philippians 3, and this is where Paul is talking about the things that he considered as gain, he now considers as loss. And he was talking about all the confidence in the flesh. If anybody has any reason to have confidence in the flesh, so much more do I, right? And he goes on to say, although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put a confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the revelation that we need to have, is that the things that we consider as important today, those things that are giving the enemy a hold on us, because we won't let go of these things, they have to go. We've heard how many times we know the Bible says that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Lord, give us a revelation. Give us a revelation that our days are short. You know, that's a wonderful prayer, and it's not all about doom and gloom, right? Because again, we can live that abundant life while we're here, and these are the things that are keeping us from even living the abundant life. How many of us have said, "Where is God?" Even in the church, where is God? Let's be honest with each other. Where is God? How many times have you asked that question? I hope that you asked that question because it means you're looking for him. If you haven't asked the question, it means you're okay with the way things are going. But we need to be asking, God, where are you? Where can I find you? And he will answer that question. He will direct you right to him. But it's going to take tossing some things over the side. It's going to take abandoning some things that we consider important. It's going to mean that our lifestyle is going to change. It's going to mean that our day is going to look different. Further on in the passage, Paul says, But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this is all labeled the goal of life. There's a title for this. It's the goal of life. The goal of life is forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the goal of life. It's not to make another $100,000, to make another $1 million. It's not about adding one more thing to my collection. I was a collector. I spent hours, every hour I had when I wasn't working, looking for things to add to my collection. It consumed so much time, it was ridiculous. That's just one thing. I also remember people saying, you know, take the rearview mirror of your life, just snap it off the windshield and toss it. Don't look in the rearview mirror anymore. But that's what Paul is saying, forgetting what lies behind. It's not about tomorrow. Listen, we can't do anything about tomorrow. We can't even do anything about this morning. It's what we do now going forward. And God is speaking, which means that there is an opportunity to turn it all around. There's an opportunity to finish the race so as to win it. And this race, it's not a sprint, thank God. It's a marathon. All we have to be doing is making a little bit of progress every single day. He's not calling us, if you were looking at a chart, to get from here to here by tomorrow or in 3 months or 6 months like we do at work. No, it's just, it can even be an indiscernible trend in the right direction. But he knows. He knows the steps that you're taking. He's right there along with us every step we take. And as soon as we make the decision and start not just making the decision, but start taking the actions to get those things out of our life and toss those things overboard, he's right there with us. And for him, it doesn't get any better than that. Just make progress. He's not saying be here. He's saying just make progress. I remember my younger brother. He was told that he had days left to live, literally days left to live. And my brother was one of the most selfish people I ever met in my life. For as long as I knew him, he was the most selfish person I ever met in my life. But when he got that number, he gave his life to Christ. He turned 180 degrees from where he was and realized he was blessed. When I was praying about the whole thing, you know, Lord, my younger brother, blah, 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 he showed me he was blessed. He got a number. He got something that he could work with. He knew what he had left. And because it was only days, he made the most of every day. He repented. He turned his life. Now, he couldn't do anything more than that because he was incapacitated. He couldn't be out in the world. He couldn't be at work. He couldn't be doing any of that stuff. All he could do was a heart change. And that's all he's asking for from us is the heart change. The heart change will turn the whole body. The heart is like the rudder of the ship, the boat that we're in, right? The heart will guide us. So he's looking for a heart change. How many will say this morning, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew within us a right spirit. So do you think we're getting further and further away from his return or closer and closer? Do you think we're in the first days or in the last days? All right, maybe we're in the first of the last days, but we're still in the last days. First Peter 4:17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin," where? "With the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" So God is here and he's saying, here's your heads up. How many knows he loves us so much, he will do everything he can to get our attention, to make sure that in those last days we hear those wonderful words that we've talked about many, many times. Right? Not those words that we don't want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you," right? But well done. Well done. And it's never too late. No matter how many days you have behind you, it's never too late to hear "well done." There hasn't been enough happening even in the past. If you had one day left, you can still turn it around and hear "well done." That's his mercy. That's his grace. That's his great love for us. Even in the split second it takes to make a decision, we can change it all because of his grace, because of his mercy. Job 21:18 says, "Are they as straw before the wind and like chaff which the storm carries away?" Matthew 3:12 says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. And he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He has a purpose in the storm. The wind of the storm, it blows the chaff away. Let's not be the chaff. Let's be the wheat. When he takes that fork and he throws it up into the air, the chaff gets blown away and the wheat falls to the ground. And that's what's saved. The rest of it gets burned. So let's believe. I don't care if it's a storm that's coming that we're talking about or a storm that you're going through right now. He has a purpose in it. He can even take what the enemy means for harm and turn it for good. He works all things together for good. For you and me. So let me ask you this morning, what are the things that need to start being tossed over the side of your boat? What are the things that need to be removed from your life? And keep your spirit open to hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say, because you're going to hear things and it'd be something you never considered. You never even realized, number one, that you could get rid of that thing, like that toxic person that might be in your life. So we need to ask. I encourage you to ask. Every message is a challenge, and the challenge today is ask. Ask and then begin to toss those things overboard. Again, it's subtle. It's a marathon. You're not going to be littering, the streets with the things that you're tossing out, or littering the water with the things that you're tossing out. It's going to happen slowly, but as long as it starts happening. Even the boat. I was meeting, having coffee with Brother Leo, and he says, "Well, what about the boat? Even the boat can be lost." I said, "Yep, you're absolutely right. Even the boat can be lost." And That's the flesh. That's the body that we're talking about. But the boat represents even an additional layer of security and comfort that will need to be dealt with at some point in time, where we give our whole life over to him. Right? And that's the point. It's not to toss things over the side and just have a big void. Because guess what that void is going to be filled with? That void will be filled with something else, worldly. It's about pressing in, pressing on towards the upward call of God on your life. What is he calling you to do in this season of your life? Does he have a call for you? If somebody were to say, "Does God have a calling for you on your life?" what would your answer be? Yes. It better be yes. It should be yes. We've heard for many, many years that it is yes. So if God has a call on my life, Lord, help me connect with the call that you have for my life. Lord, don't let me allow the things of this world to distract from the upward call that you have on my life. And it's not about pride, right? We have to remain humble. It's about building the kingdom. It's about glorifying our glorious Lord and Savior. Isn't he glorious? Doesn't he deserve glory? And who's going to do that? We need to do that. I've gone to the Lord and said, you know what, Lord, I guess I just don't love you enough. If perfect love casts out all fear, I'm still fearful, so I have a problem. I know it's not you, it must be me. So show me, teach me where I'm falling short. That's a wonderful prayer to go to the Lord. You know, you don't have to go to the Lord with, all these wonderful, your plans, things that you want to instruct him in. No, you want to bring the Lord the brokenness, the contriteness, the lack, the gap. Say, Lord, there's a gap. I don't feel the motivation to even want to get up and serve you today. So whatever is in there, whatever is causing that, let's get to the root of it. This is what we need to be doing. If we don't have that passion, we can ask for it. Doesn't the Bible say if we lack wisdom, we can ask for it? Well, if we lack passion, we can ask for it. If we lack love, we can ask for it. All we have to do is ask for it, and then by faith believe that we received it. So I know when I pray those things, I know that I am not the same as I was a minute ago. And I'm just excited to see how that's going to manifest itself in the days ahead. You know, the disciples, Peter had already left everything behind, but then what did Jesus do? Jesus called Peter out of the boat. There's always another level of what we can submit to his lordship. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And there's always good news, right? I mean, this is good news to get the heads up right ahead of time. This is always good news. But Proverbs 9:11 says, for by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. So whatever your number actually is, if we begin to let go of the weight of the world and begin to walk in the Spirit, we can even have number of days added to us. And this is what he wants for us. He wants numbers of days added to us. Why? So that we can attend another social event? No. So that maybe we can lead one more person to Christ. Maybe we can show his unconditional love to one more person. Maybe we can pray for one more person. It's all about him. It's not, there's, if we have a single atom of selfishness in it, it's going to taint the whole thing. Not that we have to be perfect. He doesn't call us to be perfect, thank God. So can we pray this morning? Do you hear the heart of God this morning? It's time. He's been talking to us about letting certain things go for so long, and we know it. So why don't we just start with those things? Let's start with those things. And if you forgot what they are, again, ask Holy Spirit. He will remind you what they are. He'll even give you the order of things if you ask that question. So Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We thank you for the heads up. We thank you for your constant care over us, Lord. We praise you and thank you for your faithfulness. You're always speaking. You're always working. Lord, give us hearts to respond to your word. Your word says that you work in us both the will and the desire to work for your good pleasure. We We need those things. We need to be willing and working, but we don't have it apart from you. So we're looking to you, our Heavenly Father, today, and we're saying, give us what we need, Lord, today, that we could have a heart for your people, that we could have a heart for the kingdom, to glorify you, to glorify Jesus, to win souls for the kingdom, to live the abundant life. Help us to get there, Lord. We can't do it on our own. We've been striving for too long. We admit and submit to you today, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness to answer that prayer. Thank you for your faithfulness to impart into us right now what we need to respond to what you're saying today, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.